بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. With the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we discuss today few chapters, chapter 10, 11 and 12. These are namely Surah Yunus, Surah Hud and Surah Yusuf. Just the crux, certain aspects of these chapters. Otherwise, discussing the details of these chapters of the Qur'an al-Kareem is not possible for us, even because of the time and also because of our inadequate knowledge for the depth of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Qur'an is so vast. Qur'an is an ocean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us benefit in the short segment we have. First of all, these are Makki surahs, revealed in Makkah Mukarramah. Second of all, these surahs were revealed together. That's why in the sequence of revelation, they are 51, 52 and 53. And these are surahs revealed in Makkah Mukarramah to enhance the iman of the believers, to connect them firmly to Allah Ta'ala. These chapters remind about narratives in the lives of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam and how they kept firm. Something else interesting in this chapter is Allah Ta'ala mentions an aspect in Musa alayhi salam's life that's not mentioned in other chapters of the Qur'an al-Kareem. And when we analyze this, it actually seems as though it's a continuation of Al-A'raf. Chapter A'raf, you remember we discussed certain aspects of Musa alayhi salam's life mentioned there. This seems to be like a continuation. Allah here mentions the destruction of the Pharaoh in verses 90. وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرَ فَأَتْبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُهُ بَغْيًا وَعَدَوًا. And Allah says, we made Banu Israel cross the ocean. Then Fir'aun followed them in tyranny and transgression. Until destruction was his lot in the form of drowning. He was drowned. أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقْ. And then he said, أَمَنْتُ. Now I bring iman. SubhanAllah, Allah make it easy for the community, for our people in KZN, in the Durban region. So many areas people are suffering. SubhanAllah, like water is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. But the same water, with Allah's permission, can destroy. This is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. Nothing can happen without the permission of Allah. Allah, in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, help us all connect to Him more and more. And Allah Ta'ala, help our ummah in these difficult times, in our country and throughout the world. There's an interesting hadith where the malaika of Allah asked Allah, oh Allah, is there any of your creation? Is there any of your creation more powerful than the mountains? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, I've created more powerful creation. I created metal, steel. So the malaika said, oh Allah, is there a creation of yours more powerful than steel? Allah says, yes, I created fire. Oh Allah, hal min khalqika shay ashad min an-nar. Oh Allah, is there any other creation more powerful than fire? Allah said, yes, I created water. It extinguishes fire. Oh Allah, is there any of your creation more powerful than water? So water is a powerful creation of Allah. Look at the oceans. Look at the power of Allah in the water. We even learn, subhanallah, in the story of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, we're learning and going through certain aspects of this chapter where Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam is detailed. And also Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam is detailed in other chapters even more. He is mentioned four times in the Qur'an al-Kareem. Here he is mentioned, but something interesting is, even though this is not the most detailed chapter concerning Yunus alayhi salam, but the chapter is named after him, because there's something very important to learn about him that I will mention shortly, inshallah. But Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, after conveying the full message to his community and his people, calling them to Allah, to his greatness, and his people defied and denied and rejected. So Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam then warned them and threatened them of Allah's punishment that will come shortly. And then in worry that Allah's punishment will come and these people after years of efforts are not prepared to change and desist, he then left his community. After fulfilling his duty of conveying the message, we Ahlus Sunnah believe Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam fulfilled his duty and conveyed his message. But what happened was, he left without a direct command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Him not realizing that that was actually, that had to be done. But here there's a lesson that Allah ta'ala teaches humanity through this beloved Nabi of Allah, that never give up on the people, and Allah can still give people hidayah. So Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam left. He gets to the shore. He embarks on the ship with other people. And when they were on the ship, Allah's will was such that the waters became rough and the waters became dangerous in the form of whirlwinds and tornadoes and rough sea waters, and they were all gonna die. The ocean was gonna swallow that entire ship. And then Allah put it in the captain's heart that there's someone here that shouldn't be here. He's so to say a runaway slave. This is not the norm. This just happened on that occasion. So he then said to the crew, we have to cast lots with all our names in, and he who Allah wants to jump over will have to leave. And Allah made it such, this is a historical report, that Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam's name came out. They actually were so polite to say, it can't be you. And they wanted to cast lots again, but he realized, no, it is me that is wanted here. And he jumped overboard. And when he went into the sea. So my lesson here also, the point here is, see, the waters are also Allah's creation. Yunus alayhi salam is now in the sea, and Allah then commands one of his creation, a whale, to swallow Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam and keep him in it for a period of time. Back to this hadith we were discussing. So the malaika asked Allah, Allah, is there any of your creation more powerful than water? Allah says, yes, I created the winds. Oh Allah, is there anything more powerful than all of that? Allah says, there isn't. But that mu'min banda who gives for Allah, who contributes for Allah's deen, he gives for Allah monetarily, and it also can mean physically. And it means different sorts of contributions, even though the first meaning is he gives monetarily for Allah. He does for Allah so sincerely that he gives with the one hand and the other hand also knows not. That is more powerful than anything else. Subhanallah. What a quality in these difficult times. In these difficult times, let us help the ummah of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in whichever way we can, in whichever way possible. As the one Mawli Sahab got up, you know, in front of the congregation, and he said, brothers, there's good news and there's bad news. So what should I start with? So he said, okay, let me start with the good news. He says, the amount that was needed for the completion of the masjid and for the madrasa block and for a nice center where we got non-Muslims coming to ask about Islam and new Muslims and so forth, for that entire, you know, block, we have sufficient and adequate funds. That is the good news. So they said, okay, what's the bad news now? That's very good. We should get started. He says, the bad news is the funds are still in your pockets. Beloved brothers, respected sisters and mothers, the thing is, ummah is suffering in these times. Contribute to the ummah of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially the plight in Durban and wherever else. Allah ta'ala help the ummah of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the four corners of the world. The incident here is Fir'aun tried to bring iman, but it was not accepted at the time of his death. Al-an. Allah says, now you want to bring iman? And your entire life was a life of defiance? On his deathbed, his iman was not accepted. And then Allah mentioned that Allah will preserve his body, not as a preservation, but as a lesson for every defiant person. Anyway, back to Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. He was in the whale, he was detained there for a while. Mufassirin mentioned different dates. There's no hadith that mentions a specific date, otherwise the hadith is what we will accept. But because these are historical points that discuss the period of time, interestingly, the Bible says 3 days, 3 nights. And because it doesn't go contrary to the hadith, so we can accept that view as well. And the verse is very interesting, that the Isa alayhi salam, regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that Isa alayhi salam, meaning the son of man, was gone for 3 days, 3 nights, just like Jonah. So Isa alayhi salam, after he was raised to the heavens, this is a verse in the Bible, he was equated to Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. But why is this interesting? It's because Christians say Jesus died, but we say he didn't pass away, as clearly elucidated and enshrined in Qur'an-i Kareem. He didn't pass away. Allah rescued him. Allah raised him. But they say, no, he died. And this is where they make excuses to say, no, we can perpetrate any wrong in the book, any sin we want to perpetrate, because Jesus died for our sins. Obviously, what they claim is ludicrous, is unacceptable. But we can prove it to them from their Bible as well. See, when we prove it from the Qur'an-i Kareem, which is asal, which is concrete, which is 100%, but sometimes to show them from their own books also has somewhat effect, even though their book is not thorough, because it was misconstrued and changed through the passage of time, unlike the Qur'an-i Kareem that has been preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse says 3 days, 3 nights. And then we can explain to them, see, Yunus alayhi salam was alive in the belly of the whale, and that they know, Jonah. So Isa alayhi salam was alive when he was raised, he didn't pass away. And then he was seen by his disciples after 3 days, and he ate from the fish, and he was not a spirit or someone who has passed away and has come back. No, he was alive, Allah raised him. Whilst Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam was in the belly of the whale, look at the opportunity he took. He made dua, he made sajda, and Allah highlights his dua. And that dua he made was actually such a dua that is for every believer facing any difficulty, any worry, any trouble, any gham, any depression. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We all know the dua of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And we should make this dua. لا إله إلا أنت. Allah, there's no deity but thee. There's no one besides you. لا إله إلا أنت. سُبْحَانَكَ. Allah, you are free from every blemish, every fault, every weakness. Allah, you are perfect. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. I am of the wrongdoers. So Allah loves this, attributing every perfection to Allah, every perfect trait and quality to Allah, and proclaiming and confessing to our, proclaiming Allah's oneness, Allah's uniqueness, and confessing to our weaknesses and our wrongs and our sins. Yunus alayhi salam made shukr that Allah gave him the opportunity to make sajda where no other man made sajda, right at the bottom of the whale. The hadith mentions that even the malaika were feeling the vibration of his ibadah around the arsh of Allah. And they were interceding and saying, Allah, there's a voice we know, we recognize that voice, but where it comes from is from a very strange avenue and venue. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it that the malaika intercede for Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. And he was then sent to the shore. But obviously Yunus alayhi salam was now weak. And it seems scientifically this could have been because of the strong immune system or digestive system. The strong digestive system of the whale. Because it doesn't swallow. Whatever it eats is eaten in whole. And what happens then is the body's immunity and digestive system crumbles that food. That's why we learn the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't have such a digestive system of that of the whale. That's why we have to chew our food. We shouldn't gobble. Ramadan is a wonderful lesson for us to learn. Chew the food, eat slowly, have smaller morsels, and to make dhikrullah and appreciate Allah's bounties as we partake of that meal. It goes inside the stomach. How the digestive system comes into play. How Allah makes it such that a liquid is emanates from inside the stomach that is more powerful than hydrochloric acid. And it disintegrates and fragments these particles of food that we ate. But interesting is the fact that how this system fragments the food we ate, which many a time is meat, but it doesn't fragment and burn and destroy the flesh which is inside our body. Allahu Akbar. Even to swallow a morsel of food, we need our Allah. Anyway, something interesting. Okay, yes, there is a liquid Allah makes secrete inside the stomach that becomes a protective covering in the stomach. But all this with the permission of Allah. All this functions only with the will of Allah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in need of Allah. We are indebted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every breath we take, for every move we make, for every heartbeat, for every morsel we swallow, for every word we utter, for everything we need our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But something else interesting here is, this chapter is named after him, Yunus alayhi salam. Allah gave him pumpkin to eat. That's also very healthy. Shajara min yaqtin, a tree of pumpkin. And this was also, it seems to be a miracle, because generally a pumpkin grows on the ground, but this could have been a means of shelter for Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. He returns to his people with firm iman and conviction, as he always had. And he comes back and all of them had brought iman. Then Allah highlights one scene here. That normally when Allah's punishment comes to a community, it's never withheld. When they were defied and the punishment comes, it's never halted. What happens is, Yunus alayhi salam's people, the punishment was arriving. But Allah halted the punishment. And this was a speciality due to a certain interesting aspect that our Buzrugan al-Din say. It was the fact that every one of them made tawbah. When everyone collectively turns to Allah and makes a collective tawbah, when the whole ummah on a whole, all to everyone at one and the same time, everyone realizes that we have been doing wrong and we have to repent to Allah and we have to change and we have to connect, Allah's special help comes. Allah's special assistance comes to the fore, and Allah removes any challenge, any harm, any calamity. In Surah Hud, subhanAllah, such a Nabi of Allah, how he invited to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He came before Hazrat Salih alayhi salam, and before many Anbiya alayhi musallam. This is the sequence. Like after Nuh alayhi salam comes Hazrat Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. The way he invited his people. But to ponder over one point, subhanAllah, is after Hud alayhi salam comes Hazrat Salih alayhi salam. Historically, Hazrat Salih alayhi salam would tell his people, "Oh my people, protect your iman, come to deen. Don't defy. Otherwise, you know how the previous nations were destroyed." Now, interestingly, the nation of Hazrat Salih alayhi salam was the remainder, meaning the believers from the after the punishment that had befallen Hazrat Hud alayhi salam's people. So a century later, Hud alayhi salam invited his people to Allah. When they defied, Allah sent the strong winds that destroyed them, eradicated them, terminated them. Only the remainder were the believers. And Hazrat Salih alayhi salam's people were the offspring of the remainder, meaning the believers. And imagine their response to Allah's Nabi. They say, what? Those people didn't know. We have carved our palaces, our castles out from the mountains. If the winds blow stronger, we just take shelter. We got contact. We know what to do. Allahu Akbar. It reminds us of the arrogant statements we say today. We think money can do. We think position can do. Degrees can do. Authority can do. Nay, 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 nay. Allah se hota hai, makhluk se nay. Only Allah can do. Only Allah can help us. Not makhluk, not degrees, not positions, not wealth, not contacts, not know-how. Only Allah. Look how important it is to protect our iman. And if we do not, our children can lose their iman. Our children can lose their iman. See, Hazrat Salih alayhi salam's community were the remainder of the believing people. That's why iman is an effort. If we do not worry and we take it for granted, sadly it can happen that tomorrow, a few decades later, a few centuries later, your and my offspring, na'udhu billah, can be walking down the road with a non-Muslim girl in his hand. Or she can be in the hand of a non-Muslim boy, Allah forbid, Allah save. Or denouncing the iman. Or due to atheism, due to misconstrued ideas, misconceptions concerning deen. Why? The problem is you and I are not worried about our iman, our ummah's iman, our community's iman, our children's iman. And you and I say, no, as long as we protect our own iman, we don't have to worry about others. Your daughter is not going to get married tomorrow. Your son is not going to get married tomorrow. No, there's no such thing. We have to worry about our iman, ummat's iman. There's no other way. And this we learn from the narrative which is enshrined in the Qur'an Kareem of Hazrat Hud alayhi salam working on his people and how the punishment came because of what and in which manner. And their offspring, what happened to their iman and what they said to the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Let us worry, let us have concern, let us connect to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.